where do you want to start it?
We'll start in 2 minutes.
Tell us what you think about the weather now. I'm just testing now.
Oh, the weather, beautiful today.
Were you in Milwaukee all winter, Mr. Pellin?
Yeah, I was home all winter. I was gone all in the summer.
Yes.
We were, well, first in June I was in California. And then after that, we were up at Door County for a couple of weeks.
You vacation up in Door County?
Yeah, it is. Can you hear now?
Sorry. Yeah. Now, will you tell us who you are and your name and your address?
Name, Louis Cohn, 1740 North 37th Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Certainly record a great deal. I tell you, Mr. Cohn, what we would like you to do is start with the history of your family in Europe. You were born here in America.
I was born in Milwaukee.
And
my father came from near Prague, and he came here in 1861, and he enlisted in the U.S. Army in 62 during the Civil War. My wife's folks, her father came here in 1878, and the family came in 1880. Their name was Keller. That is my wife's maiden name, is Keller. In about 1898, they heard from their relatives in Hungary that they were related to the man that is known here as Chaim Solomon, that was the name, and that they should, and they said it in a German letter, geht ihr nach Philadelphia und das viel Geld des uns gehört. Anyway, my brother-in-law, Dave Keller, and got in touch with a lawyer in Philadelphia and got this information that they are the descendants, practically, of this Chaim Solomon, that is from the family. And after Columbus discovered America, it is well known that the Jews were expelled from Spain. Some went to Hungary and some went to Portugal. And he was one of those that went to Portugal. I understood that he left Portugal in about 1750, came to what was then the colonies of English colonies. And of course, there was, I understood at the time, in fact, that was the information that Mr. Keller got in Philadelphia, that Chaim Solomon raised £30,000 of, at that time, English money, naturally. It was $150,000, which was a big sum in those days, at the request of Washington, General Washington, to get some clothes and other equipment for the soldiers who were encamped at Valley Forge. That much the lawyer found to be true. And but he said the papers, if any, that Chaim Solomon got from the Continental Congress, he never kept. He burned them up, and I guess all the people that helped him to raise that money in the temple at the Portuguese temple in Philadelphia. Practically did the same. Nobody kept the papers that would account for the amount of money that they had put into the park. Then as far as the estate of Chaim Salem is concerned, nobody turned up for 25 years. And the city of Philadelphia took over the money, and this lawyer said that there wasn't any possibility of getting any of that money. You could sue the city of Philadelphia, but it's so long past that they wouldn't be able to realize anything. So that's...
You want to tell us something, Mr. Wolf, Mr. Cohn, about why your father came to...
My father
States?
Or my wife's father?
No, your father came...
Well, my father was only 14 years old, and his father came to Milwaukee, and when he got here, he just wanted to get into the army, get around the country. And after the regular army, after during the war, he joined the regular army and stayed in, I guess, until 1870. And I came here and met my mother and married in Milwaukee. Of course, as far as my wife's people are concerned, my father-in-law came to this country, had four children at the time in Hungary, and he wanted to give them an education. And he knew he couldn't do it in Hungary. So he came to this country, and well, the boys grew up. Two of my brother-in-laws have been dentists in Milwaukee. It was Gilbert Keller and Sam Keller, both passed away in the last few years.
Do you remember anything that your father may have told you about life in the army during the Civil War?
No, nothing particular, except of course my father was wounded, and he was at one time reported dead. But he never wanted to draw the pension. He said this country had been mighty good to him.
When did he come to Wisconsin?
Right away.
After he left the army?
He came, well, he was here, he enlisted in Milwaukee, and he came back to Milwaukee in, I think it was 1871.
And then what did he do in Milwaukee when he returned?
My father was a baker, and he, for many years he was a matzah baker in Milwaukee.
Well, I believe you told me last time he was the first matzah baker in Milwaukee.
He was the first one in the West, as we called it that time, or the Midwest.
You were born when?
August 13th, 1873.
What do you remember in particular about your early life in Milwaukee among the Jewish community?
Well, now I'm trying to figure out what you want.
Well, something about the religious life.
Well, my father was a member of Bene Shurim Temple when down on 5th between Wells and Cedar, now Kilburn. And we attended Sunday school there. In fact, I met most of the people who today have passed away. And I'm 81, putting 82.
Now, at the time of your early youth, did you live in a Jewish community, or were the Jewish people scattered throughout the Milwaukee as they are today?
I was born down on 4th Street, just south of Chestnut at that time, called Juneau Avenue, which at that time was the real business center of Milwaukee. And in 1876, my folks bought a place on 18th and Walnut. And at that time, 20th Street was the city limits. And he continued baking matzahs there from that time on until 1898. Then he retired.
Do you remember something about the community center as you grew up, the settlement house?
There wasn't any. There wasn't any, you mean the old Abraham Lincoln place that was started on, let's see, it must have been about 1902 or 3 by Mrs. Cantor. She's a roundabout distant relative of ours. And later on, of course, my father moved over to corner 11th Avenue and Mineral, and on the opposite corner, Mrs. Cantor lived. So we knew her very well. Of course, my grandfather is in clothing and second-hand business down on Reed Street, which is now South 2nd Street. And there's a good many people knew my grandfather because he always wore a silk hat. If you see Grandpa Joseph Cohn, why, you'd see a silk hat. And across the street there was a dry goods store by the name of Black, a clothing store by Mr. Aarons, Lehman Aarons, and a shoe store, man by the name of Mendelson, W.Z. Mendelson. In the block north of there was a clothing gent furnishing by the name of Cowper.
Do you remember, Mr. Cohn, what was done on behalf of those who were coming in from Eastern Europe among the Orthodox Jews in the late 90s and the early part of the 20th century?
Well, I guess the first Orthodox Jews that came to Milwaukee was in 1886. And they were housed in a building on Broadway near Erie Street. And they came over, I guess, on a fund started by a man by the name of Baron Hirsch. I'm pretty sure that was the name. And the building, I guess, a man by the name of Miller, who was in the knitting business at the time, gave them the use of that building until they found other quarters for these people. And of course, later years, they started one temple over on Fifth Street between Cherry and Vliet. And soon they divided up and one of them put up a temple on Sixth Street between Cherry and Vliet.
Is there anything in particular you remember about the Jewish community of the late 80s and 90s as you were growing up?
No, I don't.
How about the economic life among the Jews? I believe you told me last time that your father worked for Landauer's?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I worked for Landauer's from 1889 until 1898.
Now the Landauers were one of the early families.
The Landauers were old timers here, yeah. And prior to that I worked for a short while for a clothing concern by the name of Heller Aarons. That is this Charlie Aarons's father. They're out of business for some time already. course, Charlie Ahrens was a classmate in the Sunday school, as was Rose Schramm Young, who was also a classmate of mine in the public school on 14th and Galena.
How about the general economic life among the Jewish community? What would you say their major occupation was?
Well, most of the Jewish people that were in business, they were in the clothing business in those days. Because there was a concern like Perley's, who were also Hungarian originally. They were in the loan and real estate and lawyers. That was Nathan Perley's and Sons. And one of the queer things about that family, Nathan Perley's named all his sons after the great men, like Thomas Jefferson
James
Madison.
Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin. That was a strange coincidence that he did name after that. Then there were, of course, there was concern here in the wholesale clothing business, David Adler and Sons. And then there was Friend Brothers Clothing Company at that time on corner Broadway and Michigan. They were big concerns. But as far as the Jewish community life was concerned, it wasn't the way it is today that they meet in the temple so often, and it seems to me that in those days we had about one annual meeting in the temple, and everything was cooked, fried, and so forth in a hurry. They half an hour's time, they were all out. If you, the old time rabbi here was a man by the name of Gerechter. When he quit, and they had Carroll was a rabbi here, and then when Carroll died, he was succeeded by Rabbi Levy. After that, B'nai Shurim and Emmanuel consolidated them all. Went over to the new temple then on Kenwood Boulevard. Because the original Emmanuel Temple was on corner East State and Broadway.
You were in charge of Greenwood Cemetery.
I have, not since the first year.
I was present
for 3 years of Greenwood Cemetery.
For how many years were you connected with it in any way?
10 years.
10 years. How long has it been in existence, do you?
Greenwood Cemetery? I understood Greenwood Cemetery was started by Emmanuel Temple and around about 1870. Because my wife's little brother buried there in 1881. And then it wasn't a new temple, a new cemetery.
Before that, of course, we had the Hopkins Street.
What is that?
Before that, we had the Hopkins Street
cemetery. Yeah, the cemetery was up on the junction there of Hopkins and Chambers and 17th. I haven't been over that way for some time. Are they still got the plot there?
Still there.
I thought they did. What else on you?
Well, I was interested in, you said you had just one meeting a year.
At B'nai Shurim congregation?
Yeah, well, what could be accomplished in just one meeting?
What, they didn't need to accomplish anything. The secretary reported that everybody had paid their dues, that they were in good standing. And then, of course, later on, they found that the place got too small, and they decided to buy a site somewhere close. So they bought the site on corner 10th and Cedar, now Kilburn. And of course, years some time ago, when the county wanted to build a courthouse, they bought that property from the temple, and that's when they consolidated with Emmanuel Temple.
Mr. Cohn, could you describe something about the services of B'nai Yeshurun? It was a Reformed temple.
Yeah, it was a Reformed temple. Gerechter he conducted most of his sermons in German. And in other words, it was only occasionally that he would have a sermon in English. But after Caro came there, he spoke mostly in English, because personally I don't think he was a good German linguist, because he came from Hungary. But Leve conducted all his services in English, except that the prayers and so forth in Hebrew.
How far back do you remember to be a Reformed congregation, ever since you can remember?
Well, it was a Reformed congregation when I went to temple. I understood it before they had that site there on 5th Street. They were about a block and a half north on 5th Street, just north of State Street. But that was before my time.
Mr. Cohn, do you remember any of the people who were connected with politics among the Jews in Milwaukee?
Connected with politics? Well, at one time there was a district attorney here by the name of Hamel, and I don't recollect any.
Mr. Becker, Miss Becker's father?
Mr. Becker? You mean the mayor? He wasn't Jewish.
No. Do you remember Benjamin? Mr. Benjamin?
Benjamin
Henry
Coal Company?
Yes.
Oh, sure. The Benjamin Coal Company I knew well. In fact, my wife's cousin was bookkeeper there for many years. That was Israel Klein. They were on just east of the river on East Juneau Avenue. That is one street there that hasn't changed in name. It was Juneau Avenue, but after they made a change, they called it East Juneau Avenue, because across the river was Chestnut Street.
Mr. Cohn, could you say something about the Orthodox group that came in the 90s, where they lived in Milwaukee,
well,
their congregations?
Most of the Orthodox Jews lived north of Chestnut Street, from practically 3rd Street up to 7th Street, which is practically now colored district. And later they spread northward and westward only a few blocks, until of course later on they got that temple on 10th Street, right just south of Walnut. But they considered that a Hungarian temple. They were more conservative, as they call it, not real Orthodox. Then later on, of course, they built that big temple onto Tony Avenue. What is the name of that?
Yeah. the lit fishes.
What's that?
The lit fishes.
Yeah, but I mean what they...
Beth Israel.
Beth Israel? Well, anyway, that was, for a number of years, that was the only spread there was among the Orthodox Jews.
Can you give me a general idea of the European background of the Jewish people in Milwaukee? Where did most of them come from? What part of Europe?
The early history of the Jews in Milwaukee was Hungarians and Bohemians. There were a few sprinklings of Frenchmen here, like the Kahns and the Levis. They came from Alsace-Lorraine. But you take the Adlers were Bohemians. Of course, my folks were too. On the other hand, my wife's people were Hungarians. And there were the Perleses and... Anyway, the fact is that the earliest Jewish settlements here were Bohemians and Hungarians. A few Germans came in with them, but very few in those days.
Mr. Cohn, what brought Jews to Milwaukee?
For example, what brought the Hungarian Jews here? You know about the Bohemians?
Well, they, after all, they came, there's a few of them, one or two came here and they wrote their relatives, it's nice here, and Milwaukee was always a more or less conservative city, not like some that are up today and down tomorrow. But most of the Jewish people that came to Milwaukee, they stayed.
Did they come?
In late years, of course, there's, I would say that 50% of the offsprings of those people have moved to California.
Did they come because they had relatives here already?
Most of them, yeah.
And just for the general reason of wanting to improve their economic status?
That was the condition that most of the Jews came here. Their conditions in Bohemia and in Hungary were not of the best. There was scrapping all the time between the Austrian government and the Hungarian population and Bohemian. So most of them wanted to get out of Europe, and some to educate their families, and some to help themselves a better existence.
Were there any discriminations in these countries against the Jewish people?
I don't think during that period particularly. See, that's as long as the old Kaiser Wilhelm was living in Germany, they wouldn't get out of Germany. When he died, of course, there was little changes there. As far as the French coming to Milwaukee, the French always had pretty good in France proper. So they didn't, there's very few French Jews ever came to Milwaukee. Of course, the Hungarian Jews, they wanted to get out of Hungary to educate their families, and that was one of the reasons, I believe, that most of the Hungarians came to this country.
Now, so many of them started, got a good start in business. Did they have money when they left Europe? Did they bring money with them? Or do they all start on a shoestring and build it up here?
There's nobody came here with money. I know a good many of them that started here, they started peddling. Go and get dry goods or clothing a little at a time and go out in the country and sell to the farmers and in little villages, and finally they got, so they opened up a store. You've got friends as well, the Rosenberg family, the Bittkers. They all, when they first came here, they all started peddling. Some of them even sold matches from house to house. But they got to be very good businessmen. You take Abe Rosenberg and his brother Jake Rosenberg that has the grand store here for a number of years, still like the grand is still existing, but he's passed away. Then there was Sam. He was up in around Sturgeon Bay. And of course Bittker, he also peddled when he first came here. And he later on he married the Reuben daughter. And he had stores, sometimes successfully and sometimes not, but he finally hit the jackpot. Years ago, there was a concern on corner Winnebago and 11th. They had considered in those days a big department store, rather more dry goods store, that was Jacob Kotz. And I can remember they were pretty well established in 1877-78. Next door to the east was Morris Manassi. He had a clothing store. And by the way, Morris Manassi was my son-in-law's uncle, Joe Slemberg's uncle. And of course, in the olden days, the 3rd Street from State to Poplar and up Chestnut Street, which now Juneau Avenue, was the business center of the west side of Milwaukee. And John Plankerton was in the packing business with armor. He had bought up quite a bit of property on, at that time, Grand Avenue. And he wanted to build up Grand Avenue as a business district. And he succeeded by renting the grounds and even putting up a building and giving them the place for $1 a year rent. But he killed Chestnut Street. Where Gimbel's are now, about, I would say 50 foot front, the Ziegler Candy Factory was on that site. And then there was a couple of little stores like Harsh's, they had furs. And Lehman kept hats, and on the corner of Westwater, now Plankerton Avenue and Wisconsin Avenue, Tesh's drugstore. Across the street was, on the corner, was a saloon by the name of Maurer. Then there was a shooting gallery. And anyway, right alongside the river was McCoy's tavern or saloon at that time, and a platform for the landing of the boats, which during the summer months took them out the river and up Lake Michigan to Whitefish Bay.
Mr. Cohn, do you remember much about the Jews who lived in other communities in Wisconsin? The smaller communities?
Well, there's some are like up in Green Bay and Sturgeon Bay.
Was there much contact between the Jewish communities of the smaller communities throughout the state and Milwaukee?
Not except in a business way.